The Here word dropped out of hyperspace at a very respectful distance and approached Unseelie slowly and cautiously, sending very respectful messages ahead of them. There was no reply, but they achieved high orbit unmolested, and Lewis started breathing again. It had been so long since anything had gone right in his life that he'd almost forgotten what it felt like.
Do join us, Brett.
Rose hauled Brett out from under his chair while Jessamine checked the ship's sensors, just on the off chance, but they weren't operating. Diagnostics said there was nothing wrong with the systems, they just weren't picking up anything. Lewis called up what little was known about Unseelie and put it on the main view screen so they could all study it. He interpreted the data aloud, as much to hear himself think as anything.
Conditions are tolerable for human life, which is just as well as we don't have any hard suits or full-body force shields. Air is breathable, though there's some unusual trace elements, and the temperature is, well, hot and sweaty, basically. Gravity's a bit heavier than we're used to, but not by much, which is odd given the sheer size of the planet. It ought to be a lot heavier. Still, that's Unseelie for you. Never what you expect. As you can see, there's only the one continent, and no oceans. No freestanding water at all that I can see. And the metallic forest stretches from pole to pole. Damn, some of those metal trees are so tall they actually pierce the upper layers of the atmosphere. I've never seen anything like this.
No one has. Unseelie is unique in all the Empire. Trees of gold and silver and brass, and every other metal you can think of, with cores of heavy metals that used to be mined for starship drives. There's never been a human colony here, not even back in the most gung-ho days of Lionstone's reign. People couldn't live here. It was just too alien.
And this is where you expect to find a man called Carrion? In a place where no human could stand to live? Who's to say he's still alive anyway after 200 years?
He went through the madness maze and came out transformed.
Supposedly.
Rose was studying the view screen intently, as though searching out a new opponent's weaknesses.
I'm surprised we haven't detected any power sources, at least. This close, nothing should be able to block our sensors. There was supposed to be an old mining base here, but I'm not even getting a homing beacon. God alone knows how I'm going to land this ship.
You're not. That's my job. You'll just find me in open space and I'll put this ship down as gently as a leaf falling from a tree. Only without the ups and downs and spiraling around that usually accompanies a falling leaf. Not really a good metaphor after all. Just forget I ever said anything. Gosh, is that the time? I've got important synapses to file.
Given time and sufficient motivation, I'm pretty sure I could rip out his entire personality.
I'll bear that in mind.
Try the comm again. If Carrion is down there, he must know we're here by now, if he is what he's supposed to be. Use the name again, sweetie. It's the only calling card we have.
Lewis fired up the comm panels again, though if the old mining base was actually offline, he wasn't sure who or what might be receiving him.
This is Lewis Deathstalker aboard the Hereward. We do not represent the Empire. I need to speak most urgently with a man called Carrion. Please respond.
They waited, listening intently. Brett stirred uneasily.
If there really was a base here, its systems should have come back online automatically once it heard us, even after 200 years.
Something could have happened to it. There are some strange stories about Base 13.
Base 13? I knew coming here was a bad idea. That's it. Let me out of here. I'll walk home.
Don't tempt me.
This is Carrion. It's been a long time since I answered to that name. You've come a long way, Deathstalker, and only your name buys you this much welcome. Humans are not needed or wanted here. You are the enemy, and always will be. Give me one good reason why we shouldn't just rip your ship apart around you.
Give him a good reason! Give him a good reason!
Calm down, Random, or I'll have Saturday sit on you.
Lewis thought for a moment, considering his options.
Hello, Sir Carrion. I am Lewis Deathstalker, a descendant of the Blessed Owen, and I ask your help in his name. Like him, I have been unjustly outlawed and am pursued by evil men. My four companions and I request permission to land and discuss the situation with you. Much has changed in the Empire. All of humanity, and your world too, are under threat. The Terror has finally found us.
You're just full of good news, aren't you, Deathstalker? Just like your ancestor. Very well, I grant you permission to land. I will meet with you. There's no starport or landing pads, but there is a clearing where you can put your ship down, not far from Base 13. I'll join you there. Don't go wandering off, or I can't guarantee your safety. The Ashrae have no love for humanity. Still, it will be interesting to speak with the Deathstalker again.
The communication shut off abruptly, and that was it. Lewis shut down the comm panels, leaned back in his chair, and looked at the others.
That was one seriously spooky voice. It sent chills up and down my spine.
A mouse in a bad temper could put the wind up you. But still, Lewis, are you sure this Carrion is human?
He was, but he went through the madness maze and he's lived alone with the Ashrae for 2 centuries. He's hardly going to sound like the guy next door, is he? I'm more concerned about landing safely. Oz?
Still here, still underappreciated. It might interest you to know that the sensors have suddenly started working again, and no, I don't know how or why. I have pinpointed Base 13 and the clearing's location. The Yawa has quite excellent navigation systems. I could put this ship down on a single credit piece and give you change.
How far is the clearing from the base?
Oh, walking distance easy. Do you all good to get some healthy exercise after being cooped up in here? No obvious dangers. I mean, apart from the Ashrae. The sensors can't seem to make head nor tail of what they are. Apart from uncomfortably large. And there's lots of them, everywhere. No obvious natural hazards. Nothing much except trees, actually. So what do you think, Lewis? Do we go for it?
Take us down, Oz.
Yes, sir! Down to Unseelie. On to Death Hall Glory!
We're all gonna die.
The Hereward dove into the planet's atmosphere, plunging down through the heavy cloud layers, and threaded an expert path between the tops of the tallest trees. It was a short and surprisingly smooth trip, and Oz set them down expertly in the designated clearing. He was almost unbearably cocky about it, until Lewis threatened to rip out his voice circuits, and then he sulked. Lewis tried running the sensors again, and the limited data scrolling across the view screen seemed straightforward enough. He still made the others wait till he'd finished before he allowed them to disembark. There had to be some reason why even Lionstone's empire had never colonized Unseelie. In the end, there was nothing left but to shrug uneasily and insist on being first out of the airlock. He stepped out into the Ashrae world, his hands conspicuously away from his weapons, half braced for some unknown blow or attack, but it never came. The air was still and hot, and had a sharp, smoky scent to it. Silence lay across the clearing like some heavy enveloping blanket, as though someone were listening. But Lewis hardly noticed any of it, because all he could look at was the trees. They filled his eyes and his mind, the huge, glowing metal trees of Unseelie. They stretched away in all directions, farther than the eye could follow, and soared up into the clouds high above. Magnificent trees of unburnished metal that had never known leaf or bud. Gold and silver and brass, verdant and azure, shining bright and clean, with needle-sharp branches thrusting out from smooth and perfectly circular trunks. So many towering metal trees, like nails hammered into the planet by God himself. In Lionstone's day, they had been mined and processed almost to extinction, but the forest was restored in its entirety by the Blessed Owen, or so it was said. One by one, the rest of the crew of the Hereward disembarked. Rose had to drag Brett out. For a while, they all stood close together, awed and numbed by what they saw and felt. There was a strange, fresh energy to this world, a vitality that stirred the blood and called to ancient instincts, a primal strength and vigor that was very different from the tamer, more civilized worlds of the Empire. This was not a safe place. Anything could happen here. It felt like being present at the dawn of creation, when all the worlds were new. It felt like coming home. They all had some kind of smile on their faces, even Rose, though she would have been hard-pressed to say why. They might have stood there forever, but as always, Jessamine was the first to break away. She stepped slowly forward, her head cocked slightly to one side.
Listen. I can hear... Can you hear that? What is that?
Lewis frowned, moving forward to join her.
I hear something, but don't ask me what. It's like trying to see something out of the corner of your eye. What is it?
It's a song. A song that is more than a song. It's coming from... everywhere. Everything. Lewis, I think the trees are singing.
I think you've been at the medicine cabinet as well. I can't hear any song. I can't hear anything. And just as well, really. The only songs I know all have mucky words. This whole place is quiet as a tomb. And I do wish I hadn't said that. Come on, people, snap out of it. This is a seriously weird place we've come to. No wildlife, no birds, not even any insects. Nothing but us and these oversized coffin nails. This is unnatural. No wonder no one ever wanted to live here. I am feeling nervous, upset, not even a little bit happy, and more than a little threatened. And I say we get the hell out of here right now. Please.
Shut up, Brett.
Brett scowled about him. He could hear something. He wasn't sure whether he was hearing it with his ears or his asp, but either way, it didn't sound at all like a song to him.
Trees, quiet, hot, boring. Bring on the ash rye.
They're not far away.
Saturday's long spiked tail lashed slowly behind him.
I can feel their presence, their watching eyes.
Then why doesn't someone drop in and say hello and welcome? We're the first human visitors they've allowed in centuries. I didn't expect a welcoming committee, but...
They know we're here. They're still deciding what to do about us.
Brett looked at him sharply.
I didn't know you had a touch of esp, Sir Deathstalker.
I don't. It's just warrior's instinct. Watch your step, people. Be polite. Don't break anything. We're only here on sufferance. Base 13 should be about 30 minutes walk that way. Let's go.
Shouldn't someone stay to guard the ship? I'll volunteer.
You want to stay here all on your own? You're braver than I thought. Anything could happen here while we're all gone.
On second thought, I think I'd better stick with you. Oh, God knows what kind of trouble you could get into without my devious, suspicious instincts there to protect you.
You're so good to us.
They set off through the narrow, unerringly straight pathways that led between the endless rows of thick, bold trees. Lewis led the way, with Jessamine at his side. Rose strolled casually along behind them, with Brett tucked in close beside her. Saturday brought up the rear. The reptiloid seemed cheerful enough, not all that interested in the metallic forest, but looking around hopefully, on the off chance that something small and defenseless might turn up so he could hunt and kill and eat it. Above, or perhaps behind the relentless quiet, the unheard song, if song it was, faded away. The heavier gravity pulled painfully at their muscles, and the sticky heat grew more oppressive the longer they walked. Lewis had a growing feeling that coming to Unseelie had been a serious misjudgment on his part. The metallic forest was a spectacular sight, but so far he hadn't seen anything that would serve to refill their seriously depleted stores. Nothing to eat, and nothing to drink. And yet, you couldn't call this a dead world, like some he'd visited. The whole planet pulsed with vital energies. If Owen really had recreated this world, he'd done a hell of a job. The sensation of being watched by unfriendly eyes continued to nag at him, like an itch he couldn't scratch. And it bothered him that he couldn't see the sun or the sky. The overhead cloud layer was too thick, allowing only an eerie, general, diffused illumination. It made judging distances and directions acutely difficult, and only his comlink with the yacht's sensors kept him on course. All around him, the towering trees glowed brightly, like so many multicolored suns. It was like walking in a dream. They all walked in silence. None of them had anything particularly vital to say or report, and the eerie nature of the place discouraged casual conversation. It felt as though they were walking through some immense work of nature, writ large and triumphant, and man was a very small thing indeed. The heavier gravity weighed down even their spirits, and they were all soaked in sweat from the effort and the heat. Not all that surprisingly, Jessamine was the first to complain.
I shouldn't have to put up with this. Why couldn't we have landed right next to the base? I'm tired, my back aches, and my feet aren't talking to me. We should have brought a gravity sled. It's been years since I had to walk this far, and I hated it then. Look, why don't I take a rest break here while you...
No, I'm not splitting up the party. I want you all where I can see you, and that very definitely includes you, Brett. We're stronger and safer together. So suck it up, Jess, and keep up the pace. You're doing well. The sooner we get to Base 13, the sooner we can all rest.
Ooh!
Jessamine kept going. The trees moved slowly past, only the size and the colors changing. And it was hard to tell how far they'd come, or how much farther there was left to go.
I did not sign up for this. My legs are killing me and my head's going to explode!
Jessamine saw that no one was paying her the slightest bit of attention.
This is ridiculous! I should not be expected to walk in this heat! I can hardly breathe, it's so hot!
Jess, this really isn't helping. We're all hot and tired, but we really must press on. The base is only a little bit farther. Come on.
That was all she could take. Jessamine lurched to a halt.
I will not be forced to take one more step, Louis Deathstalker! This is positively ridiculous! I am a star and I will be treated like one! I was famous! People loved me! Now look! I'm walking and I'm hot and oh me! Oh my!
Louis and Brett looked at each other, embarrassed. Jessamine had been a star too long, used to people being ready and willing to do all the unpleasant things in life for her.
Jess, really, there's no point in turning back now. We're nearer the base than the ship. We might as well keep walking. Come on, you'll feel better if you just keep moving.
Oh, Louis, you don't love me anymore. You can't if you would make me take another step. I'm not moving, you can't make me.
Rose stepped forward and looked Jessamine right in the eye.
We're going on. You can stay here on your own, unprotected, or you can come with us. But if you start whining again, I'll hurt you. Got it?
Jessamine wanted to say, "How dare you talk to me like that? How dare you threaten me? Don't you know who I am?" But she knew none of that mattered a damn to the Wild Rose of the Arena. She looked uncertainly at Louis.
You wouldn't really leave me behind, would you, sweetie? You wouldn't let her hit me? Would you, Louis?
Jess, I'm only a moment away from making you walk in front so I can kick your arse if you slow us down. This kind of behavior isn't worthy of you, so stop complaining and move. It's no harder for you than the rest of us. You always said you were a good trooper. Time to prove it.
You're sleeping on the floor tonight, Deathstalker.
As it turned out, it was only another 10 minutes or so before the metal trees fell suddenly away on all sides, and they emerged into a clearing. In the center of the wide open space stood half a dozen tall metal statues. They were twice the height of a man, and the gleaming shapes made no sense at all, though they somehow felt as though they ought to. Light gleamed along their smooth curves that turned and twisted in uncertain directions. Louis walked slowly up to the nearest statue and studied it carefully. It didn't help.
Ashrai sculpture?
Brett peered past Louis's shoulder.
I've heard of it, but usually you only see stuff like this in specialized and very expensive catalogs. I doubt there's a dozen pieces of Ashrai art in human hands throughout the entire empire. Supposedly, the Ashrai sculpt these things out of the metal trees using nothing but their minds.
And you can only really appreciate them by touching them. They were meant to be felt, not seen. The Ashrai don't see the world the way the rest of us do. I've been trying to acquire even a small piece for years.
I really don't feel like touching that.
The others nodded.
Forget the alien porn! Dump it all out and fill the cargo bay with ease! We could manage 2, maybe even 3. Oh, sweet Jesus, we could sell them on Mistworld for more credits than even I usually dream of. We'd be set up for life.
Don't even think about it. We're here as guests, remember? Not thieves or looters. You really want the Ashrai mad at you?
Oh, well, not as such, no. But there has to be some way.
No, Brett.
They're just shapes. They have no soul. My people sculpt in living tissues, torn from the bodies of fallen enemies. Why are you looking at me like that?
They set off again, leaving the clearing behind. Soon it was lost behind the ranks of glowing trees. They all dreamed about the statues for weeks afterwards.
How could the old empire never have realized that this was an artificially created world? I mean, you only have to look at it. No echo structure, no living systems. Just the trees and the Ashrai.
This is an inhuman place. Alien in every sense of the word. Nothing here to keep a man sane. How is it that Carrion survived here alone for more than 2 centuries?
He wanted to be an Ashrai. Who knows how the madness may have changed him, or what he did with those changes.
Do we have any idea what an Ashrai looks like?
All the official records were wiped long ago, on Robert and Constance's orders. Only hints remain. Massive, deadly creatures, with fangs and claws and gargoyle faces.
No! If these are the dragons that Owen called to fight alongside him, they were wise and wonderful and very beautiful. I used to dream about them when I was a child, flying through open space with them like Owen.
According to the Dust Plains...
I know what they said, Lewis. They said it was Carrion, not Owen. We'll see.
And still they trudged on, the heavier gravity pulling at their bodies like weights. The heat never wavered, and there was never even a breath of a cool breeze. The trees seemed bigger and wider and taller the longer they walked through them, and they shone brightly in the diffused light. It was like walking through the vaults of some endless catacombs, and a growing sense of awe and stifling oppression fell over the group, so that they spoke only in hushed whispers. The forest was just too big, too vast for merely human feelings. Even the reptiloid Saturday seemed somewhat subdued. Brett, on the other hand, was silent because he was becoming increasingly preoccupied with thoughts of how much the metal of the trees was worth. Metal from Unseelie was very rare, and therefore very valuable. And if he couldn't take away even one of the statues, surely even that Misery Guts Deathstalker wouldn't begrudge him a small branch. Or 3. Should be easy enough. A sudden stumble, a carefully aimed fall, and it should be child's play to break off some of the smaller branches with his weight. And then, well, they might as well take the branches with them as leave them just lying around, right? Brett let himself drift just a little away and behind the others, taking his time so no one would notice. He'd actually got within a few feet of the nearest branch when he lurched to a sudden halt, all his instincts shrieking at him. His esp kicked in big time as the sheer living presence of the tree hit him right between the eyes like a hammer. It knew he was there. It knew what he was planning. It growled at him. He did his best to mentally project a message.
Sorry.
And hurried back to join the others. To his disgust, none of them had even noticed he'd been gone. The projected 30-minute walk had already become more than an hour, and Lewis didn't believe it was just down to the heavier gravity. Unseelie was a different place, with different rules. There was still no sign of the Ashrai, and Lewis had to wonder if perhaps they were determined to have nothing to do with humans. And if this man Carrion considered himself an Ashrai now, maybe even the legendary Deathstalker name wouldn't be enough to win his cooperation. Even though he hadn't admitted it out loud, even to himself, Lewis had been secretly hoping he'd be able to convince Carrion to leave Unseelie and come with them on their quest to find Owen. With a maze survivor on their side, even Finn would think twice about getting in their way. Lewis scowled as he trudged along, mentally rehearsing various possible arguments. Jessamine strode along beside Lewis in silence, looking straight ahead and ostentatiously not talking to him, though she wasn't sure if he'd noticed. He could be very obtuse about some things. She had no one else to talk to. Brett was sulking again, and Rose was a mystery as always. Of them all, the hard trek through the forest had affected Rose the least. The lanky cow looked like she could walk forever. Saturday, on the other hand, looked increasingly unsettled. He couldn't connect to this silent, lifeless world, where there was nothing for him to eat or kill or have sex with. The great trees made him feel small and weak, and he wasn't used to that. Almost an hour and a half after they'd left the Hereward, the forest finally took mercy upon them and fell away to reveal a great clearing with Base 13 at its center. It was a hulking steel structure surrounded by plenty of space, as though none of the trees wanted to get too close to it. The base had been built for function, not aesthetics, but even so, the years had not been kind to it. The steel exterior was weathered and distressed, and punctured here and there with ragged holes. Many appeared to have been punched out from within, either by energy weapons or brute force. The front doors stood open, but Lewis couldn't honestly say they looked inviting.
Hold up.
He brought his group to a halt at the edge of the clearing and studied first the clearing and then Base 13 carefully. There was no sign of anyone waiting to meet them. He activated his comm implant.
Sir Carrion, this is Lewis Deathstalker. We have reached Base 13. Are you here?
He waited, looking about him, but there was no response. And then he felt, as much as heard, something approaching, and he looked up.
God in heaven.
The others looked up too, following his startled gaze.
Mother!
And there, all across the sky, the Ashrai came falling out of the clouds and into the diffused light. They flew unhurriedly through the still air, hundreds of them, their vast membranous wings barely flapping. They were huge, monstrous, grotesque creatures, bulging with muscles under rainbow skins, their broad faces composed of harsh, bony planes and angles, fiery golden eyes, and a wide mouth full of long, needle teeth. Their movements were eerily graceful as they swept across the sky. Jessamine stared up at them, enchanted.
Oh, Lewis! It is Owen's dragons! Look at them! They're not what I thought they'd be. They're not beautiful, but... oh, God, they're magnificent!
They're scary buggers is what they are!
Brett just happened to be standing directly behind Rose.
Look at the size of them! Damn, one of those things could make a real mess of a man if it put its mind to it. I'd back one of them against a Grendel. A dozen Grendels and give odds!
Rose casually rested a hand on her sword.
I killed a Grendel in the arena.
I know, it's all you ever talk about, and I do wish you wouldn't. Please don't start anything. Or if you must, give me plenty of advance warning so I can get a good running start.
I wonder what they taste like.
Don't encourage her. You're almost as bad as she is. Am I the only one here who's noticed they outnumber us by 100 to 1? And they are big. Seriously big. They probably crapped more dangerous things than us. Oh, I can feel one of my heads coming on.
Brett watched the Ashrai circling slowly overhead.
How does anything that big and that heavy stay in the air anyway? I don't care what kind of wingspan they've got. Nothing that massive belongs in midair, particularly when I'm standing underneath it.
Calm down, Brett. You're babbling. The Ashrai fly because their S pulls them up. Maybe they can fly unprotected through space after all. These are clearly powerful creatures.
The song's back.
Jessamine arched almost painfully back as she gazed adoringly into the sky.
It's so much stronger here. It's not just the trees. It's them. The Ashrai and the forest singing together, bound together. Can't you hear it?
None of them said anything, because it seemed to all of them that they could hear something. The song Jessamine sang was older than the Golden Age, older than the Age of Heroes, from the days of the First Empire. when humanity originally went out into the stars. An ancient, haunting evocation of days long gone. Jessamine sang, and the Ashrai sang with her. The song filled the clearing, a celebration of life and the glory of existence, and the driving need to find a meaning for it all. Jessamine sang, her face full of rapture, and the Ashrai sang with her. Lewis stared at his love, stunned by the power in her voice. He felt as though he was in the presence of something sacred. Jessamine slowly lowered her head, and she put out a shaking hand to Lewis. He took her in his arms, making his strength her own, and she clung to him.
Oh, Lewis. I think now I finally understand how people feel when I sing. That was amazing.
How did you know that was the right thing to do?
I'm not the first person to sing with the Ashrai. 200 years ago, Diana Virtue sang with them, before she became Jenny Psycho. They have never forgotten. Look at them, Lewis. At least now we know some of the old legends were true. These are the dragons, and they are glorious.
Lewis held her in his arms and said nothing. The Ashrai were certainly impressive and powerful, but it would take more than a pretty tune to convince him that they were friends. Hundreds of people had died in the past, just for daring to visit Unseelie. And while the Ashrai were undeniably mighty, they still looked ugly as sin itself to him. And bloody dangerous, too. He tensed as a single Ashrai broke away from the others circling overhead, and dropped out of the sky towards them. Lewis didn't push Jessamine away, he did turn her around so he could get to his gun more easily. The lone Ashrai seemed to grow larger and larger as it fell towards them. Lewis estimated it had to be at least 40 feet from gargoyle head to spiny tail, with almost as wide a wingspan. As it landed, the golden wings folded neatly away upon the shimmering silver back, and the Ashrai folded its muscular arms across its massive chest as it regarded them all with unblinking golden eyes. Rose Constantine drew her sword.
I have to do this. I have to know. Damn you ugly brute, you make me feel so hot!
She surged forward, sword held out before her, grinning broadly. The Ashrai reared up, raised one massive foot, and stamped on her. Brett sprinted for the cover of the trees. Lewis shook his head slowly.
Saturday?
Yes, Lewis?
Fetch.
The reptiloid nodded and set off after Brett, his long stride rapidly eating up the distance between them. Lewis gently put Jessamine away from him and cautiously approached the Ashrai. The harsh face studied him thoughtfully with its glowing golden eyes. Up close, its heavy breathing was overwhelming, though it smelt of nothing at all. Damn, the creature was big.
Hi, I'm Lewis Deathstalker. Nice moves. Could we please have our psychopath back? She's impulsive and annoying and has several appalling personal habits that you really don't want to know about, but she has a certain sentimental value. If you let her up, I'm pretty sure I can guarantee she won't try that again, or anything else until she can get her eyeballs uncrossed.
The Ashrai considered the matter, nodded its awful head, and stepped back, raising its huge foot. Lewis and Jessamine dragged Rose out from under and set her down with her back propped against a tree. She was having trouble getting her eyes to track, but she seemed to know who and where she was.
Caught me by surprise. Get me on my feet and find my sword and I'll tear his wings off and beat him to death with the soggy ends.
No, you won't. You behave yourself and stop embarrassing me or I'll shoot you myself.
You do realize that if anyone else spoke to me like that, that I'd fillet them? Good thing for you that I'm a little under the weather, and that you're a death stalker.
Yeah. Lucky me.
Saturday came striding back, with Brett tucked securely under one arm.
No! No! Get off me, you stupid bastard! No, you're just a big bully, are you? Oh, because you're bigger!
Lewis really hoped the reptiloid didn't understand most of what Brett was saying. Saturday dropped Brett at Lewis's feet and glowered down at him.
Next time, I'll bite off something superfluous. Fleeing in the face of an enemy. The very idea! What kind of impression does that make?
Brett clambered painfully back to his feet.
Sorry, trained reflexes. Also, bone-deep cowardice. I did warn you. How's Rose doing?
When I can trust my feet again, I'm gonna kill everything in this clearing.
Ah, back to normal then. You go talk to the monster, Sir Deathstalker. I'll look after Rose, from a safe distance.
And then they all stopped talking and looked around sharply as the Ashrai reared up again, presenting its wide, curved chest to them. The shimmering silver scales split suddenly apart, unfolding like a rose. And out of the pink interior of the Ashrai walked a man, dressed all in black. He strode unhurriedly towards Lewis and his companions, and behind him, the opening in the Ashrai's chest slowly closed itself. And then, the huge alien was gone. Vanished in a moment, as though it had never been there. Only the man remained. He came to a halt before Lewis. Tall and whipcord lean, he wore black leathers topped with a billowing black cape. He was dark-haired and pale-faced, his features subtly ageless. His mouth was a grim, flat line, his eyes dark and accusing. He carried a long staff of polished bone, almost as tall as he was. His movements weren't entirely human. Just looking at the man sent shivers up Lewis's spine. He knew who this was, who this had to be. He could feel Jessamine pressing in close beside him like a frightened child.
You are the Deathstalker?
Yes, I'm Lewis Deathstalker, descendant of the Blessed Owen.
I am Carrion. I have been an Ashrai for many years. I haven't been human since John Silence and I returned to this world. I'd forgotten how small and limited a thing it is to be a man. Even your thoughts are smaller. I have descended from the skies to talk with you. It had better be worth it.
No one speaks like that. Well, not in real life.
Perhaps he could use a lozenge.
Let me get this straight. That alien, that was actually you. You changed from a human into that thing.
Carrion looked at Lewis.
These people are with you?
Unfortunately, yes. I'd apologize for them, but it's a waste of time. Feel free to ignore them. I do.
Carrion turned the full force of his dark, disturbing gaze on Brett, who immediately darted behind Lewis and peered past his shoulder.
It is a glorious thing to be an Ashrai. It's what I always wanted. I was happy to leave my humanity behind as something I had outgrown. And now here you are, to remind me of what I wished most to forget. What do you want with me, Deathstalker? You mentioned the Terror. How can they be here so soon?
It's been 200 years since the Blessed One's warning.
Has it? I hadn't realized. The Ashrai experience time differently. For us, yesterday is the distant past, and the distant past is yesterday. You're the first human I've talked to since I said goodbye to the Captain, and gave up human weaknesses to be an Ashrai. You'll pardon me if I've lost the knack.
Why did you want to meet us here? Lewis gestured at the abandoned base. Not so much because he cared, but to buy himself some thinking time. This wasn't going at all as he'd expected. Carrion looked at Base 13.
This is the only human structure left on the planet. We keep it as a reminder never to lower our guard. I thought it might help me remember how to be human again. It hasn't been a working base for centuries. All the mines and mining equipment it oversaw are long gone now, absorbed and recycled by the trees. But still, this is a place of strong memories for me. Bad things happened here. Do they still tell the story of the terrible events at Base 13? Of the unknown alien and the awful gifts it brought?
Lewis and the others looked at each other. Lewis shrugged uncomfortably.
I'm afraid not, Sir Carrion. Much of the history of your time is lost to us. Only legends remain. And you are only mentioned briefly in the unofficial legends.
Carrion smiled for the first time.
I suppose I shouldn't be surprised. Captain Silence made it into the official legends, I assume. Of course he did. He was a hero, after all. While I was a traitor and proud of it. I fought with the Ashrai in their war against humanity. I killed men and women for my own crew. Until Captain Silence scorched this planet from orbit and killed every living thing on Unseelie except for the trees and me.
Carrion smiled again at their shocked expressions.
Oh yes, children. Your great hero, John Silence, committed genocide here, in the name of his empire. Some years later, Owen brought the Ashrai back, made Unseelie a living world again. That's why the Deathstalker name buys you this audience.
He looked again at Phase 13.
I was an investigator once, trained by the Empire on how best to study and murder aliens. But even so, nothing in my experience prepared me for the horror Captain Silence and I found in this dark place. An alien from an unknown species came to Unseelie from out of the endless night beyond the Rim, and its ship crashed near here. We'd never seen anything like that ship. Grown as much as built, out of meat and bone, as well as steel and crystal. We cut open one of its walls, and guts fell out. But the alien wasn't there. It had already made its way to Base 13, and slaughtered every living thing it found there. Afterwards, it did terrible things with their bodies. We killed the alien, eventually. John Silence, I, the young Esper Diana Virtue, and Investigator Frost. John, my friend, my enemy. We were always so close, bound together and torn apart by honor and responsibility. The alien ship isn't here anymore. Empire scientists took it away to study, and from its alien technology, they devised the next generation of star drives, the E-class, and more besides. The alien we killed was just a forerunner of a very advanced, very deadly species. John and I always expected more of them would come to challenge and invade the Empire. But they never did. Perhaps the Terror got to them first. The universe is a very big place.
Carrion looked at Lewis again.
So, 200 years. Is John...
John Silence died long ago. I'm sorry. There are statues to him all over the Empire.
So, my only friend is dead. My last link with humanity is gone. And now you're the new Deathstalker. You look like a warrior, which is more than Owen did, except when he got mad at someone. I only met him a few times. A dark, sad, disturbing figure. A good man, undoubtedly. But he scared the shit out of me.
Why aren't you in the official legends?
Rose was back on her feet again, but keeping a respectful distance.
If you were as closely tied to the other heroes as you claim.
Gives whole new meaning to the word blunt, doesn't she?
They probably left me out because I embarrassed everyone. I never apologized for my treason. I embraced it. And I never gave a damn for the Empire or humanity. I only fought alongside John because he asked me to.
You mean you didn't follow the Blessed Owen?
Hell no. I knew enough to stay well clear of him. He had that hero stink all over him. And everyone knows that heroes die young and bloody, and mostly take their friends and companions down with them.
Carrion smiled coldly at Lewis.
Just like you will, Deathstalker.
Lewis decided it was definitely time to change the subject. His hopes of persuading Carrion to join him were looking increasingly remote.
Tell us about the heroes you knew, Sir Carrion. We know only the legends. What were they really like?
Carrion frowned and seemed uncertain.
When heroes become legends, so much of the truth is always lost. I knew men and women, flesh and blood. Important figures, yes, but still, they were people first, flawed and vulnerable, which perhaps makes their heroism all the greater. Owen, perhaps the only real hero I ever met. Death on two legs. Honorable, brave, damned. Knew he wouldn't live to see the end of his war, but never let that stop him from doing what he knew to be right. Hazel, a free spirit no matter what it cost her. A scrapper, a rebel, never giving too much of herself to anyone for fear it would be betrayed. She really should have known better than to love a Deathstalker. I never really knew or trusted Jack Random or Ruby Journey. I always knew they had their own agendas. And I never met the Hayden Man, before he died or afterward. No, I was only there because John needed someone to be his friend, to be his good right hand and guard his back. For all the death and suffering and broken promises between us, he was still a better man than he thought he was. He never really got over the death of his one true love, Investigator Frost.
He stopped as he took in the blank, puzzled looks on their faces.
Am I to take it she didn't make it into the official legends either?
Not even the Apocrypha, as far as I know. Who was she, Sir Carrion?
Carrion shook his head slowly.
She deserved to be remembered. She and John made a great team. Unstoppable. She went into the madness maze and survived. Oh, she was a hell of a fighter. She was cold and vicious, and I never liked her. Hell, I don't think anyone did but John. But I respected her. He loved her, even though she was an investigator. I don't know whether she ever loved him. Whether she was capable of it. She died in his arms in Lionstone's court. It doesn't seem right that she should be forgotten. Let's talk about the Terror. There was a voice that came out of nowhere after the Recreated had been defeated and then reborn as the new Rimworlds. I never knew whose voice it was. It said the Ashrai were originally created for a purpose, not just to tend the metallic trees. They are old, the Ashrai, and they had forgotten much. Perhaps it is their purpose and their fate to battle the Terror. Perhaps you serve their destiny in coming here. You said you were outlaws, like Owen and his people. What happened? And why are you here?
We're hoping to track down the missing Owen Deathstalker and Hazel Dark. Our dearest legend is that Owen will return to save us all, in the hour of the Empire's greatest need. If anyone knows how to stop the Terror, it's got to be him. No one else is going to. The Empire's a mess. A complete psychopath's running things. We were all outlawed for not going along with him. And the Golden Age is going down the toilet.
Nothing changes.
So we're searching for any survivors of the Age of Heroes, hoping to find clues on where to look for Owen and Hazel. It's a sign of how desperate we are that we've started with you, Sir Carrion. No offense.
Legends. The patterns never change, though centuries pass. But I was only a part of history, not legend. So all I have to offer you is the painful truth. Owen Deathstalker is dead. He died long ago and far away, saving us all from the wrath of the Recreated.
For a long moment, no one said anything. They were all hit hard, even Lewis and Jessamine, who'd been told this before. But it was one thing to hear it from Shub and the Dust Plains of Memory, machines who might or might not have their own agendas, and quite another to hear it from a contemporary of Owen, someone who'd been there when it happened. Brett saw something in Lewis and Jessamine's faces.
You knew, didn't you? You already knew this and you said nothing!
We have been given reason to believe that Owen will yet return to us. And no, I don't understand how. Sometimes, you just have to have a little faith.
Brett almost glared at Carrion.
What about Hazel Dark? Is she dead too?
I don't know. She left Hayden after learning of Owen's death. Perhaps John discovered what became of her, but he's gone. Your only chance for answers is to go to Hayden and pass through the Madness Maze. There are many answers and many mysteries to be found in the maze.
You've been through it. What's it like, really?
There is nothing else like it in all the Empire. It's almost alive. It breathes and sweats and knows what moves you. It changes everyone differently. Or perhaps it helps us change ourselves. It is a thing of power and miracles. Oh, and it is very old. And there's something else, some deeper secret hidden in the very heart of the maze. John and I were never allowed close enough to find out exactly what. We weren't considered worthy. Only Owen was ever allowed to penetrate the heart of the mystery.
Only Owen? What about Hazel Dark?
Only the Deathstalker. There is some unknown connection between the Deathstalkers and the Madness Maze.
Carrion broke off abruptly, looking up at the opaque shimmering sky above them.
Well, this seems to be Unseelie's day for unwanted visitors. 5 Imperial Star Cruisers have just dropped out of hyperspace and are moving into orbit around this world. Just like old times.
They were all looking at him. None of them doubted what he was saying. There was something about Carrion.
How do you know this?
The maze. I know many things now, whether I want to or not. Someone's trying to communicate with the Ashrai. I suppose I might as well talk to them while I'm human. We'll need to use the comm systems in Base 13. When we're in there, stay close. The base has been dead for centuries, but it is still a dangerous place for the unwary.
He's talking to you, Brett. Don't touch anything.
I am hurt. Hurt and wounded.
You will be if you don't do as you're told. Saturday, you'd better watch the door while we're in there. Feel free to eat anyone who isn't us or the Ashrai.
Dinner time's coming.
Saturday stared up at the clouded sky.
Just as well. Some of you are beginning to look especially tasty.
Is he joking?
Best not to ask.